either reserve. You're listening to leaders.com.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa. Wassalamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'd, fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wamal hayatu dunya illa mata'ul ghurur. Sadaqallahul azim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursalin. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, humanity at large is looking for two things. Humanity at large is looking for two things: how to achieve unity and how to achieve success. These two things are very important in life. How to achieve unity and how to achieve peace and success. The short and very simple answer to these two questions is that unity is in Islam and success is also in Islam. The answer is only in one word, Islam. That you will find unity in Islam and you will also find success in Islam. That is why in one hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, رَجُلَانِ يَتَحَابَّانِ فِي اللَّهِ. There are two people who love one another for the pleasure of Allah. اِجْتَمَعَ عَلَيْ وَيَفْتَرَقَ عَلَيْ. That they meet one another on this and they depart from one another also on this. They will be given the shade under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why these gatherings are very, very important, because for you to come here is for the pleasure of Allah. And for you to depart from here, it is also for the pleasure of Allah. There is no other agenda. The only agenda is that we are sitting to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when a person is in the habit of doing this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him shade on the day of Qiyamah under the arsh, the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for success, my respected brothers, success is with Islam. And this is a subject that we need to really understand. We need to understand this subject very, very thoroughly. So inshallah, from the very outset, I will ask the brothers here that listen very attentively. Listen with the heart. And don't be distracted. Inshallah, the majlis is not going to be very long, but as long as we can understand the message that what is success in the world of great confusion, in the world where everybody is claiming that this is success, but what is true success? This we need to understand. And so you will find today, my respected brothers, that in the world, everyone is in this race. Everyone is chasing for this dunya, and everyone is actually a competitor. Whatever you do, it is about becoming successful. A few days ago, there was somebody who sent me a message, Maulana, I need to speak to you. And when I looked at the number, I said, Subhanallah, where is this number from? It was from Angola. Where was it from? Angola. So there was this brother, anyway, khair, to cut everything short here, is that he is in Angola and he comes from India. He is in Angola to work. He is there because he wants to work there. And so if you look at how the world is, if you look at all of the people that are traveling also in the airport, mashallah, flights going this direction, people walking in this direction, everyone is busy, everyone is chasing something. There is an agenda. Some people are craving for a British passport, some people want a stay and a green card in America, some people want to move to Dubai and, you know, want to work there, some people want to work in Africa, some people want to do this, some people want to do that, and we can open up something there and here, subhanallah. It's all about moving and it's all about becoming very, very successful. And so people are thinking that if we can do this, mashallah, we will be successful. So one person opens up some chai dukan, so now everybody wants to follow the same concept. And so somehow, some way, let's make money, you know, how do we get something? You know, what are we going to be doing here? So it's all about being successful in this dunya. So what is true success? My respected brothers, if you were to be told that fine, you are chasing success, this is your desire, this is what you want to be, truly very, very successful in this dunya, but the end result of this success that you are chasing is in complete failure. What is it? Is in complete failure. And nobody can deny this. So for an example, you find a man in his life, he feels that, Alhamdulillah, I'm very successful. Success, success, success. All of a sudden, the cutter comes along and cuts him. The cutter comes along and cuts him. So what is this cutter that cuts him all of a sudden? And if somebody was to say to him that there is complete failure, because this success that you are looking at, how can it be a success when at the end of it you will be thrown in a ditch? You will be thrown in a hole. You will fall down somewhere. And that is your grave. What is it? Your grave. So imagine a person feels that he is successful, not realizing that tomorrow this business will not even be my business, the clothes that I have will not be my clothes, the car that I'm driving now will not be my car, because something is going to get me very, very soon. This cutter that is going to cut me, and I will be thrown into this hole, which is death and grave. So now if you think about it, what success are we chasing? What success are we looking for in this dunya? If somebody was to say to you, there are two people that are racing and competing with one another, and they are racing, and then somebody says to them that, look, you know, you are going to race from here to there, and as you cross the finishing line, you will fall down. There's a ditch. You will fall and that will be the end of you. Now this man will wonder, then what is the use for me to compete and what is the use for me to run? What is this race for? The faster you are running, the harder it becomes for you to break. So if I'm going to cross the finishing line, then I'm going to fall down. It's going to be the end for me. So what is success? This is something that is very important for us to understand, my respected brothers. Many people came in this dunya as competitors and they were part of this rat race and chasing and this race that we know of, people going in different direction. There was one man that the Quran makes mention of, his name is Qarun. And when Qarun came along, he wanted to become the richest man in the planet. That there is nobody that is more rich than him. This was his agenda, this was his ambition, this was his aim in life. That I am the most wealthiest person, there is nobody that can touch me. Forget your Ambanis and your Bill Gates compared to the Qarun that Quran talks about. And in reality, this person, Qarun, became so rich that you may ask that from Adam alayhi salam until the day of Qiyamah, is there someone that can compete with Qarun in wealth? Or will there be someone? Has there been someone who was as rich as Qarun? The Quran gives us an example that Allah does not even speak about the wealth that he has got. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the keys to his treasures, what is it? The keys to his treasures were lifted by these strong animals. Elephants would carry the keys of the treasures of Qarun. They were laden on the backs of these strong animals. And these strong men would hold the keys of Qarun. That is the amount of wealth, that is the amount of dunya Allah opened up for this one man, Qarun. Was he successful? What is his understanding of success? What happened? At the end of the day, the end result is a failure because the cutter came and completely cut him. Death came to him. And in fact, he was munched, eaten away, swallowed by this earth. He became a morsel, a lukma of this dunya, of this earth. When Musa alayhi salam said to him, take out zakat and give in the path of Allah, he says, who are you? Get away from here. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave an order to the earth and the earth opened up and he was pulled down completely with all his wealth. They just sunk. It went down completely. And then you find another man in history also. This man came along to compete in fame, power, kingship, kingdom, authority. That the kingdom that should be given to me, there is no kingdom given to anybody else. Great power, a huge army, very powerful. And his name is Fir'aun. What is his name? Fir'aun. Very, very powerful. Allah says, "Wa Fir'aun dhil awtad." That Fir'aun had complete authority on the land, very powerful. You know, the foundation of his authority was deep down. This is what the Quran is saying. That people feared him. There was no army to fight him. Eventually it was only the Nabi of Allah, Musa alayhi salam, that had to come. But you can see when you read the kalam of Allah that even Musa alayhi salam thought, oho, going to Fir'aun, and he says, Ya Allah, rather than me going alone, let me take my brother with me, Harun also. Two of us go to him. A man who could slaughter thousands of babies in one day, and nobody could say anything to him. Nobody would even think that let's form some kind of an opposition to fight him and to tackle him and to stop him. Nobody could do that. This is how scared they were of Pharaoh. But then later on, what do we see? That even Pharaoh's kingdom came to an end and his mighty army was crushed. A man, in some of the kitabs it is written that for 300 years he did not experience any form of headache. For 300 years he did not experience any form of headache. And what happened to him? Again, everything ends. Everything comes to an end. So the question is, my respected brothers, as Muslims, especially nowadays, what is success and how are we going to achieve success? How are we going to achieve success? Success, what does it mean? Now here, inshallah ta'ala, as we go further in understanding this subject and topic, we are going to divide two groups of people in understanding success. One is the mentality of a kafir. What is it? The mentality of a kafir. When I say a kafir, it is not a swear word. Mentality of a kafir is an Arabic word. It means a person who has no iman. What is it? A person who does not have any iman. And the mentality, the mindset of that person who has got iman. So you have two groups of people. The one group of people are those who are the followers of the messengers and the prophets that came. Their mentality. And one mentality is of the people who've got kufr, the people who haven't got faith, the people who haven't got iman inside them. So the reason why they haven't got iman is because they have been trapped by shaitan. And when shaitan traps a person and somebody takes kufr from shaitan, it means that they are forming an alliance with shaitan. What are they? Forming an alliance with shaitan. So you will find that the people of kufr, they form an alliance with shaitan. And the people of iman, the people of faith, they form an alliance with the prophet of the time. With the prophet of the time. So our alliance is with who? Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If you came before Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, possibly you were with Isa alayhi salam, Jesus. If you came before, possibly you were with Musa alayhi salam, because all of them were just the prophets of Allah, mighty prophets. The message was one. So one is the one who has accepted kufr in the heart. And another person who has not accepted kufr in the heart. Now when you have kufr in the heart, this affects your mind. What does it do? It affects your mind. And how does it affect your mind? Is because now, when somebody starts to think that, look, you know what, if I am going to be in this game and start to chase and this race, then what will happen? One day I'm going to die. So if I die, everything ends. So what is the logic for me to do anything in this dunya anyway? What should I do? What is the use? Why should I do anything? So now shaitan, what he does is that he puts this smoke screen in front of the people who've got kufr. And he changes the mindset, and what he says to them, that forget what is in front of you, forget death. So don't remember death at all. You are not to remember death. And he makes that person completely heedless. And that he is completely negligent of the fact that, you know what, one day I will die and one day I can die. He doesn't understand that. And he makes him forget death. And he tunes him and makes him into such a person that as if death is very far away and in fact death will never come to you. That is why Winston Churchill, when he died, somebody said to him that, you know, you're about to die. Are you prepared to meet your maker? What is it? Are you prepared to meet your maker? The pride and the arrogance that people have, your mindset is completely wrong and corrupted. He says, well, that is the wrong way of asking me. Ask me that, am I prepared to meet him? لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. And so you'll find that so many people will say so many things at the time, their last words and how they want to go and how they went. You know, subhanallah. Lady Diana, I was reading an article, the last words before she died. Oh my God, what has happened? What did she say? Oh my God, what has happened? You know, when you are at that impact and when you are breathing your last and when you see that, subhanallah, you know, everything is coming to an end. Everything is going to finish. Your mobile phone is in your pocket. Your Omega Rolex watch is there. Your beautiful, you know, expensive car is there. Your children are there. You see the ambulance that is there, the siren. Everything is there. But now this man knows. Puri dunya ajay. Everybody can come. Anything, anybody can come. Open up any pharmacy. Call any professor, doctor, surgeon, consultant, anybody. Bring, you know, go to the best hospital. Everybody should come. He knows. Fir'aun knew, Fir'aun knew. And so when Fir'aun saw the angel of death, that is after, post-Sakarat, this is after the period of Sakarat, when your iman is not accepted, when he saw the angels, then he accepted defeat, and he says, Rabbi, amanna bi Rabbi Harun wa Musa, that I bring iman upon the Rabb of Harun and Musa alayhi salam. I bring iman. Al-ana, now, waqad asaita, when you, all your life, had turned away from Allah, now you see the angel and you are now coming to the truth. So, the mentality of that person who is not of iman, is that the shaitan tells him, look, everything ends at death. So your scope of life is only from the time this child is 15, 16. Now he's studying, he wants to be a successful guy. And now he thinks, you see, I want to be successful until something is going to stop me like death. I have to be successful. And what happens after that? Shaitan says, you've not seen, you don't know what happens. So leave it, don't be bothered, don't talk about it, nothing will happen. So this way you will be successful. This way you will start to enjoy life. This is the mentality, that his mindset is only until that time comes and something happens to me. He can't deny and he's not going to reject death. So he knows that is coming. But then the mind is such that, well, you know, it might just end there. It might be that, you know, when we die, there is nothing that is going to happen. So it might be the end. So let me do whatever I want to do. There is nothing wrong. This is the game that Shaitan actually plays. So my respected brothers and elders, unfortunately, you will find that there are also Muslims today that read the kalima, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, but have adopted the same mentality. They have adopted the same mentality. Allah save us. that, you know, their religion, Muslim, this and that. But some people, their level of Iman is so weak, their thinking is so different, that as if nothing is going to happen to me, this is my true success, I'm going towards this, you know, I'm very, very successful, nothing is going to happen to me. We've heard of Junaid Jamshed. Junaid Jamshed, one of the turning points in his life, he was a musician, a singer, and a very famous singer of Pakistan. And he said that one day I was invited at a concert, and there were a few singers that were going to sing, and I was waiting for my turn. So I had my group of people that were sitting, some people in front of me. So there was a man who was singing, and at the stage there was this famous singer. So somebody was whispering to another person, oh, this man should now stop singing because he's getting old. He hasn't got the voice. He hasn't got the voice. What is the use that he's still singing now that he's getting old? So Junaid Jamshed says that when I heard this, I also felt in my heart that I am young now and I have the voice and I can sing, so people are admiring me. But what will happen when I become old? The same thing that people will also say, bhai, Junaid Jamshed ko bhi nikalo, isko bhi nikalo. That he is getting very, very old. He says, when I heard this from the group of people in front of me talking about that man who was singing but now old in age, I knew that this is not success for me. I knew that this is not success for me. I knew that there is something else. And khair Allah gave him shahadat, and he's a great man, and a lot of changes came in this person's life. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His infinite mercy, has designed this human being in such a way. وَمَن نُعَمِّرْهُ نُنَكِّسْهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ. The Quran says, Surah Yasin, that Allah gives him an age, and then as he gets older, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reverses the process. What does it? Reverses the process. And so when he gets old, he becomes weak. That is why you'll find a child is weak. A child is weak. And a person, when he gets old, old people really get on well with children. Have you noticed that? Old people get on really well with children. Because a child is also weak. And now this man getting old has also become very, very weak. The child that is born has become so weak that, you know, the hair are also very soft. So you have to shave the head, the hair, so that the hair grows properly. You shave the hair. Wabal, birth ke. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he is getting older, after 40, you'll find all these pains and aches and all these things are happening to you. In fact, the very first sign, you know, does anyone remember the first sign when he noticed a gray hair, a white hair? On the head somewhere. Anybody noticed it? So you know, the first white hair that you see and you say, Allah Pak, what's happening to me? The first, only one white hair, and Allah Pak, what is happening to me? Anytime your wife says to you, oh, you know, you've got one hair here. See? Maybe, you know, some liquid. And then he'll go to the doctor and say, Doctor Saab, you know, you think, take my blood test, vitamins ki kami ki wajah se, I'm getting white hair, zinc lelu, omega, you know, 3 lelu, fish oil peelu, you know, take all these. And then in about, you know, few months, you know, a cluster of white hair from here, there, everywhere. Now he says, what do I do? Allah Pak is saying, you are going to die. Now you're going to die, you are going to use a dye. What are you going to do? Even the name is dye. The dye you are using is also to dye. So now he goes and he buys a dye. Chalo, achha yaar. Biwi ko jawan raks. Biwi ke saamne budde ho jaye. You know, your wife will think, oh, is this old man? So now he's painting and, you know, doing coloring and that, becoming a bit young. And then there is, you know, you can't fight with nature. You can't fight. How are you going to fight? What about your wrinkles? Your wrinkles, you know. Now my daughter said to me, "Dad, you're getting old. You've got a line here. What is it? You've got a line." I said, "Really?" "Then you've got a line here." I said, "Huh?" I said, "Your buzz getting old." What did I say? I said, "Your buzz getting old. That is the reality." She goes, no, you're still young. I said, no. This is the truth. What about the wrinkles? What are you going to do? And then a time comes that he can't cope because, you know, the gray hair are coming out at a greater speed and you can't cope dying. So then very gracefully he says to his wife, "I might as well accept this gracefully. You know, Buddha to hona hai na." So now he's going to leave everything. And then the white hair, and then he notices that he's getting a crown and a bowl patch. So he thinks that, you know, gray hair was even better, but now I am without hair. Now I am without hair. Takke. You know. Once upon a time you could keep zulf, long hair, you know, very nice, long hair. Now you can only dream of having zulfa. You can't even have zulfa because the hair growth is zero now. You are getting weak. Very, very weak. Allah is saying, "Nunakkisu, I am changing this for you." As a Muslim, as a person of Iman, Allah is saying, "I'm reminding you. I'm reminding you." You know, this person, he was very health conscious, and after 40 also, he was, he tried his level best that, you know, I should not suffer from diabetes. I should not suffer from diabetes. Diabetes is something that can eat away the body and all that. So he was a man, you know, could take control of himself, would not take sugar and drinks and this and that and everything, good healthy food. And then one day he realized that despite all his efforts, Dr. Saab usko sugar lag gayi. He became diabetic. So some of the family members said to him, "Okay, bhai, you know, what is this? You know, and also your sugar level at such a high, you know, level." So he was a good man, intelligent man, joke marta tha. So he said in Urdu, "Marna to hai na ek din." What do you say? "Marna to hai." Look, you can be a bodybuilder, you can look after your body, you can have no disease, no illness, no nothing. But eventually, that doesn't mean that you're going to defy and fight with death. Death is going to come. So, you know, death is going to come. Ajib. So this man goes to Hakim Saab. Hakim Saab is a doctor. He's an old man. She goes, "Dr. Saab, you know, my back is hurting when I'm doing ruku." Dr. Saab looked at him. He says, "Old age." "Dr. Saab, you know, when I'm walking, you know, my legs are hurting." Hakim Saab said, "Old age." He says, "Dr. Saab, you know, I also get headaches." Hakim Saab, "Old age, bhai." And he mentioned a few. And Hakim Saab was only one answer. "Old age, old age, old age." So this man got angry. He said, "What kind of a doctor are you? Everything is old age, old age, old age, old age." Hakim Saab said, "This is old age also. You losing it and getting angry, this is also old age. I'm telling you it is old age. Accept it by." What is it? Accept it. You know, you're 50, 60 and you want to get married to a girl that's 19 and 20. Bhai, sharam karo zara. You know? What is working by? You know? Allahu Akbar Kabira. Allah is saying, "Waman nu'ammirhu nu'akkisu fil khalq." You know, I'm changing you completely. Now you're going to become weak. And then now, you know, everything starts. You can't do ruku. Then your blood pressure. Then, you know, tablet starts. Then this happens. Then one day, one time ambulance goes. Then sometimes you visit here, this, that. It's all happening now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, "These are my chances that I am giving you." But the kafir mentality, even the white hair, the illness, all of these symptoms that are shown to him, the shaitan still has drugged him. What has shaitan done? Drugged him, because he hasn't got iman. And the effects of the drugs are such that he does not understand that everything is going to stop at death. His vision and scope is only till death. My success is only till this much. And this is what is happening. But in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking the person of Iman at a different level. The mentality of a Muslim is this, that Allah is telling him, don't have the kafir mind. What is it? Don't have the kafir mind. The kafir mind is bas full stop at death. The Muslim mind. You see, there are two things that shaitan works at. Two things with the kafir. Number one, he makes him forget death. What does he do? He makes him forget death. And number two, when you don't have an objective in life, when you don't have Allah that you are going to worship, then shaitan replaces Allah with desire. What does he replace? Shahwat. What does he replace? Two things. That's what shaitan does. What does shaitan do to a kafir mentality, brothers? Number one, makes him forget. He knows it's going to happen, but what does he make him do? Forget that. You know, somebody like who's taking drugs and injected and he doesn't know, he's drowsy. All the time the shaitan is poking him. No, death is not, nothing. And number two, when he hasn't got Allah, when he's not going to come for Isha and do sajda, when he is not going to fast, when he's not going to read the Quran, when the objective is that he doesn't want to worship Allah, look, then the shaitan tells him, you know what, you came in this world for a reason. What is that reason? What is that reason? Well, what can the reason be? What is the purpose for you to come? Then the shaitan tells him, enjoyment. What did you come here for? Enjoyment. So enjoy life. So he takes his khuda, he takes his mission in life as enjoyment, desire. I'm not saying that. The Quran says that. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. Have you seen, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that person who has taken his hawa? Hawa means khaish, his desire, carnal desire. He's taken his carnal desire as God. He can't stop masturbating. He can't stop watching pornography. He can't stop having zina, fornication. He can't stop drinking alcohol. He can't stop flying to Ibiza. He can't stop dancing. He can't stop listening to music. He can't stop gambling. He can't, because shaitan has told him, enjoy, bye. Go out, you know, like this girl, fall in love with this woman. Then, you know, like a bubble gum, you have sweetness after a bit, then you spit it out. Then another girl will come, then go out with this girl, then go out with that girl. Make this your business. All of a sudden, not realizing, the cutter comes. Unexpectedly. What happens? The cutter comes, the crusher comes, the shaver comes. These are the names given in the hadith. These are the names given. The crusher that comes. The cutter that comes, that will cut you apart. Oh, how will your death come out? And you were dreaming and you were doing all this and everything ends. Because he thought, but this is it. What is life? One question, my respected brothers. This magnificent human being. Magnificent creature. This creation of Allah. How beautiful is this insan? Is the purpose of this human being to be created only that at the end he will become dust and nothing else will happen? Is this our logic? Is this our understanding? You know, you have a beautiful car, and you park it in the garage, and when people come to your house, they say, I want to show you something. And they say, this is my beautiful car. I bought this for £100,000. Oh, beautiful. This is how the car functions. This is what it does. So people say to him, when do you drive it? He said, I don't drive it. I don't drive it. It's just there. It is just, people will call you a fool. Why do you spend so much? This magnificent human being comes into creation. Is this a waste. But is it just for him to do zina, for him to take drugs, for him to go Ibiza, for him to watch bad programs, for him to do bad things, for him to fulfill his carnal desire and lust? Is that all that he had to do? Allahu Akbar. A man came to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. He says, "Oh, Amirul Mu'minin, I want to divorce my wife." Amirul Mu'minin said, "Divorce your wife? After so many years?" "Yeah, I want to divorce." "So why? What's the reason for you to divorce?" You know what he gave? The reason. Idrisa. He said, "I don't love her anymore." What did he say? "I don't love her anymore." Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala and looked at him. He said, "My son, not loving your wife and not loving a woman that is in your nikah is not dalil proof that you should divorce her. You should take responsibility because of your love for Allah." What is it? "You should take responsibility because of your love for Allah." And this word love is fake. What is it? Because you don't know. You can't touch it. How do you know? The same woman you are saying, you know, you don't love her. Maybe you do, but you're not showing it. How do you know? What is it? So Hazrat Umar is explaining. So the kafir mentality, my respected brothers, that is why when Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was questioned, "O Nabi of Allah, who is the most intelligent in your ummat? Who is the most intelligent from your followers?" Did he say the one who teaches Bukhari, Muslim? Did he say an imam of a masjid? Did he say Mufti Saab? Did he say a hafiz of the Quran? Did he say some peer awliya? What did he say? He said something very simple. He said, "The man who remembers death all the time in my ummah is the most intelligent." How beautiful is that? The man who remembers death is the most intelligent in my ummah. Now, my respected brothers and elders, what is the mentality of a person who has got iman? The person who's got iman, faith, our deen, our Islam, our messenger tells us, yes, the cutter is in front of you, death is going to come, but this does not mean that this line is now a complete failure for you. But rather understand that this is your same track. What is it? Your same track in this earth, dunya, same track. So this track you are walking, and here is death. What you have to do is this death is going to touch you to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has only allowed for a person to enter the hereafter, not by some gates. That, you know, you travel to an island and then there is some gates and there is some magical, you know, curtains that now expiry date has come. So you have to walk through this curtain, and by walking through this curtain, you know, you will end up in another world. No, it doesn't work like that. Because dunya is a test. It is a test. So Allah has hidden everything from us so that we don't see. And so this matter has been taken care of in such a way that what happens, you die and the body is put down. What is it? The body is put down. And that is the corridor, that is the gate that opens to the hereafter. What is it? That is the gate that opens to the hereafter. Now, to be successful is not to follow the lines of shaitan. What our Nabi has said, in this world, if you become the slave of Allah and not the slave of this dunya, of this world, then even when death comes, you are still successful. What is it? You are still successful. Death becomes, subhanallah, a ni'mat, a blessing. It is like a bridge a gate that will open up for you to enter the garden of bliss which is in the hereafter. That is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, إِنَّمَا الْقَبْرُ رَوْزَةٌ مِّن رِيَاضِ الْجَنَّةِ. That qabr is either one portion of Jannah or a pit of hellfire. Or a pit of hellfire. So it is up to the people how they are going to see this. How they are going to take this. Rasul sallallahu alayhi, the Quran actually said, فَمَنْ زُحْزِهَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَكَدْ فَازَ. The real success is that person who has been saved not from death. Because death will come in this dunya. Death will come in this. True success is for a person who is saved from the fire of Jahannam and who enters paradise. Who enters paradise. That is why you will find that the mentality of a person who's not got iman, faith, he does not understand the mentality of a Muslim. A Muslim is walking. All of a sudden he sees in the park two people, Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alamin, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Sami Allahu Liman, Allahu Akbar. They don't understand. Because the mentality is there. They don't understand that it is so hot and this Muslim woman is wearing a scarf. We don't understand. You don't understand because the mindset is different. What is it? Because when you don't have Iman, you form an alliance with Kufr. What is it? And when you form an alliance with kufr, it means you are shaking hands with shaitan. What is it? And the shaitan is a direct ticket to Jahannam. Is a direct ticket to Jahannam. So that is why, my respected brothers and elders, you are sitting here and I am talking and we have these masjids. And that is why we are inviting people and that is why we are reminding people, we are reminding each other, because anything can happen at any time. And just to conclude, in the last session I said there are four types of people, but this is not the four that I'm going to explain now. This is one hadith. The four types of people is related to another topic which I wanted to touch on. Is that how the Quran, when it came, it is picking up people for Iman. It detects people and gives them Iman. That is why generally when a person who is about to accept Islam, I usually say to him that, you know what, Allah loves you. What is it? Allah loves you. That is it. Allah loves you. That is why you are here. That is why you are here. You are in the straight path. Don't be deceived. Allah loves you. So now, in the hadith, there is one very beautiful hadith that is telling us and training us that how a person should live in this dunya. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, there are four types of people. How many? Four types of people. This is different and this is a hadith. Number one, the first type of people, the first group is that group amongst the Muslims that Allah has given them a lot of money. What is it? Allah has given them? They are millionaires and billionaires, lots of wealth. And with a lot of dunya, when we say wealth, we mean dunya. What is it? That Allah has given them an abundance of dunya, materialism. They've got a lot. But with so much wealth, these people are not deceived. They are also giving and serving. What are they doing? They are also giving and serving. They are not deceived. They haven't got takabbur. They haven't got pride inside them. Subhanallah al-Azim. There is a musician. I was reading this article yesterday. I like to read about Indian history and that. So some of the famous people from the time of when the Muslims were ruling until now. So you'll find that there are iconic figures also in India. So there is this musician in India. He is a revert to Islam. What is he? He is a revert to Islam. From Hinduism he accepted Islam. And mashallah, that the daughters are all wearing niqab. The daughters are all wearing. Now, of course, the fact that musician, this is another kalam that is between him and Allah and whatever, and we are not to judge. But what we are saying, for a person to take hidayat and for a person to live in that environment, and the daughter was questioned that, you know, your father is so famous in India, what do you like about your father? And this lady in niqab, this girl, full niqab, she said, what we like about my father is that he's got so much wealth and he's got so much fame, but it has not influenced his humility. He is still the same humble man. What is it? Humility. So a man who's got a lot of wealth and he is also serving and giving, this is one group. These are people also beloved to Allah. In fact, this is the highest rank of people that are beloved to Allah. What is it? The first category, most beloved. That is why, my respected brothers, even if you have wealth, wealth is not enough. Wealth is not enough just to have in your bank account. But that wealth, you serve and you also do khidmat of the deen and everything. And you become the most beloved to Allah. Number two, in the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a man who has not been given wealth, a man who has not been given wealth, but his desire and his thinking is that if Allah gave me wealth, I tell you, I would do this, I would do that, I will open up masjids there, I will give here, I will give there. And Allah knows his intention. This person is also beloved to Allah Pak. These two groups of people are also beloved to Allah. So Allah has given an opportunity also to the people who haven't got that much, but the intention are right. That if I had, I would have done a lot of good works. Then you have the third and the fourth category. The third category is a group of people that Allah has not given wealth and they are poor. What are they? Poor. With poverty, their intention is that, oh ho, if we had money, we would have gone to Dubai and do ayyashi and enjoy, and we would have done gambling and we would have done this sin and that guna. Despite the fact that they've got poverty, they are dreaming only to fulfill their lust. What is it? They want to fulfill only their dreams and ambition of this dunya. That if we had wealth, you know, we'd buy a makan here, this is what I would do, this is what I would do, this is the nightclub I would go to, this is what... This third category of people, that is not accepted by Allah. And then the fourth category, the worst of the worst. The fourth category is the worst of the worst. That these are rich people who have been given an abundance of dunya, lot of dunya, and despite a lot of dunya, they have only invested their dunya in guna and sins. What have they done? They have only invested their dunya in guna and sins. So they are the worst of the worst. So that is why, my respected brothers and elders, nowadays we want to talk about something, not just, you know, the traditional topics, but something that touches us from the foundation. What is it? And so these are the things that we need to understand, that the mind of a person who has iman, the mentality of a Muslim, has to be different from the mentality of that person who hasn't got iman and hasn't got kufr. Because their vision is only one scope until the death comes. After that, they say, we don't know. Shaitan makes them forget death. Shaitan then makes them also take hawa, desire, as an objective in life. But a believer, mashallah, he knows that in this dunya, I have to be what? The slave of Allah. If I'm the slave of Allah, death cannot do anything to me. Death cannot do anything to me. In fact, let me tell you one thing, my respected brothers, that the fire of Jahannam at times cannot do nothing to you and I, inshallah. Inshallah. How? There is one riwayat that some of the angels, it will be decided that this person needs to go from one area to another area. on the day of Qiyamah from moving. And so one portion of Jahannam will be there. One portion of Jahannam will be there. So when this person is walking, the fire of Jahannam will recede and go back. What will it happen? It will go back. The Malaika will say, what is happening to these, the waves of fire? They are supposed to come out and the waves are now going backwards inside. So the one that is looking after the hellfire will say that this person is Hafiz of the Quran. This person has got Quran inside. And when you have light and Quran, there is no match for fire and Quran. There is no match for fire and that is why are we all eager to make our children Hafiz? Why? Imagine if you memorize 99, the people who can't become Hafiz, then they should become Hafiz of the names of Allah. What is it? Hafiz of the names of Allah. Take that on board. Very easy. One name you remember in one day. And if you are not Hafiz of the Quran, you can say I am Hafiz of the 99 names of Allah. And if you are Hafiz of the 99 names of Allah, Huzur alayhi salam has said, Man ahsaha dakhal al-jannah. The one who has memorized the names of Allah, he will go to Jannah. And if a person has memorized the Quran, then his shan is very high. So alhamdulillah, this iman is very powerful, my respected brothers. That is why when a Muslim is put in the grave, when the angels come, they know straight away. The body language changes completely. How Munkar and Nakir will treat this person, how everything is there is very different. Ye to mehman hai. Kaun hai? Mehman. He's a guest. He's a guest. All life, this person was praying Quran his entire life. He was in the mosque, he did this, everything. You know, there are some good people when they die, the good works they have done, then it comes out. What is it? Then, but it will all come out properly in the grave. Allah Pak, give us all the tawfiq. اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم نستغفرك ونتوب إليك سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين